To this episode of Yellow and Blues podcast. I'm your host, Srini Patsadi, and I'm joined by my co-host, Venkat. Hello, Venkat, how are you?
Hi, Srini, I'm doing very well, thanks. How about you?
Yeah, very good, very good. The IPL has finally started, and we're already 4 matches into the IPL 2022 as we do the recording. It's been an interesting 4 matches. All 4 games have been won by the team chasing.
It is due.
Yeah. I assume that's pun unintended. The IPL has been like an interesting, but there's also been a bit of test match that's been happening around the world. And given we are an India-focused podcast now, we shouldn't forget talking about the India women's exit from the World Cup. So let's take a look at those couple of things now before we get into the details of the 4 matches on the IPL. Starting with two fantastic test matches, you know, one in Pakistan and the other one in the West Indies versus England. Australia have had like a landmark test win in Pakistan, I think winning the first ever Bernard Kadir Trophy. Pat Cummins, I think, like, you know, when he won the Ashes, came in as new captain, people weren't so sure about his captaincy. But looking at the win in Pakistan, although it's been a batsman dominated series, so to speak, when you look at the first two tests ended in boring draws, Pat Cummins along with Lyon ended up being the top wicket takers, 12 wickets both of them for Australia. Usman Khawaja top scored, like, you know, with almost 500 runs in a three test series with 200s.
It's a dream come true, Srini. I was following that test match very closely. It was a dream come true for Usman Khawaja. I mean, the celebrations tells that all. Cummins and Lyon, not a surprise bowling in what you would call Asian conditions, and getting those wickets is not a big deal. But Cummins, you know, for example, I mean, the pace at which he bowled, the intensity, it's not easy around April, you know, how the weather is in that part of the region. Overall, I think Australia would be super proud.
Yeah, especially like, you know, considering they bowled a lot of overs in the first two tests, which is completely batting dominated, and, you know, ended up in draws.
Yeah.
Usman Khawaja, yeah, it's kind of a fairy tale coming back to the country of his birth and scoring those many runs. It's excellent. Similarly, I think we shouldn't discount the other test series, West Indies, you know, beating England to win the first Botham Richards Trophy. England's have won only one test in the last 17 test matches they've played.
Definitely, you know, from West Indies' point of view, it is fantastic victory. It is fantastic. I mean, it's resolute. Everybody contributed. Braithwaite cannot be taken lightly, his contributions with the bat. And then as a captain, as well as Cal Meyers in De Silva's 100 was phenomenal in the last innings.
Yeah, I think, again, similar to the Pakistan-Australia series, the first two tests ended in dull, boring draws. Whereas this one, the moment the pitch was up and down and England put under pressure in the fourth innings and they crumbled, like, you know, it's been the story of their winter from last winter and through this winter as well. Bowling-wise as well, on a pitch where England struggled to score runs, for Da Silva to score 100, it was a reflection on the poor. I think partially, yes, it's good batting from him, but it also was, like, you know, a poor reflection on England's bowling.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I can't. I mean, he was resolute, but there were chances. I can say that definitely.
Yeah, it's. I know the story during the rounds here in England, you know, newspapers etc. It's like, you know, will Joe Root survive? Joe's captaincy survived this series. I don't think it should, you know, I think it should have gone off to the Ashes, but hey, we'll see.
Yeah, just echoing on that, Srini, just before we move to the India women's side, Joe Root, from my point of view, there is no choice. Even now, if you discount who will you bring in? So I think Joe Root is the de facto automatic selection. Yes, you can say he had a bad, but I think the time has come now. The previous selection of him was based sort of out of no choice, but now I think there will be some hard decisions taken.
Yeah, I think they probably need to go left field, you know, something like South Africa did with Graham Smith all those years ago, just bringing him. Probably England need to just pick a county captain and bringing. I'm sure there are plenty of county captains.
Yeah,
and give them an opportunity because they need Joe Root, the batsman, rather than Joe Root, the captain. The results probably aren't going to be any worse than what it is right now. Anyway, we'll it'd be interesting.
So just to add an India point of view, Srini, I hope they continue with the same team until July.
Yeah, until the 1st of July.
Yeah, I think Rohit Sharma will have an easy picking.
Yeah, but I think before that, the New Zealand are coming over to England. So yeah, we'll know in the beginning of June. The other big story, obviously, we need to talk about is in the news section is India women's heartbreaking exit from the World Cup. Overall, I think it's a disappointing World Cup for as far as the Indian women are concerned. I mean, the only two teams that they beat. They actually beat three teams. They beat the West Indies as well, but predominantly it was Pakistan and Bangladesh, two teams that you expected them to beat. They lost to South Africa, England, New Zealand, and Australia, the big four. And
I feel like I think the loss to England did cost them the game. I mean, I think that was an easy game. Even 130 odd that England was chasing, they made a hash out of it. I think that meant that England sniffed a chance. You know, India would have just walked through. I'm sure they know that. India women know that.
Yeah, it's the. We said this last week. I think when I was talking about, I said to you, it's been a performance from one or two people in each match rather than a cohesive team performance. This game, it was a good performance. You know, India started well, batting first. Now there was half centuries for Smriti Mandhana, Harmanpreet Kaur, and Mithali Raj. At one point, I think it was around the 40 over mark when they were 220 odd. You know, it looked like with Mithali still there, India would look to reach 300. But unfortunately, the batting fell apart, or South Africa bowled well, and all India managed 274 in the end. 274, I think, was still a good score considering South Africa only won of the last ball of the game. There was no shortage of drama in this match. I think the last three overs they needed to defend 20 and they brought it down to about seven of the last over.
Yeah. Unlike the men's team, I should say. Actually, I was hoping South Africa would be chokers, but they didn't choke at this point in time. Yeah, I think what would have happened is the other teams that have made already into the playoffs, I think, have really are at a very high standard. England, India, even if they scraped through, would have just been probably semi-finals.
Yeah, I agree. India, if it have gone through, they would have faced Australia, and that would have been a difficult challenge. But having said that, in a knockout game, funny things happen. India beat Australia last time around in 2017, so you never know. But I think the big disappointment, more than disappointment, I think the heartbreaking thing was the fact that with just three runs needed of the last two balls, Deepti Sharma actually got Minion Dupree out caught by Harmanpreet Kaur, which turned out to be no ball, and it was. Not even a big no ball,
It's
millimeters. The men's World Cup where it hit off Stokes' bat and went for a boundary. This is one of those things where such small things luck needs to go your way.
Yeah, definitely.
That was such are the fine margins on which games are decided in the World Cup.
Games, careers, lives.
Yeah, It's probably, I don't know if it's the end of the road for Jalan Goswami and Mithali, but it was such a disappointing to see Jalan's face, and especially she didn't play the game and she was sitting outside, and it was so disheartening to see. And I was hoping, like, you know, Tendulkar, after like 6 World Cups, managed to win the final World Cup. Mithali would, I was hoping Mithali would be like, you know, this was the 6th World Cup and she would be able to win one, but you know, such is life, you know, it doesn't happen.
She hasn't announced retirement yet.
I think the odds of her playing the next World Cup, odds of both of them playing the next World Cup are like, you know, non-existent. probably. It's a shame. I hope that this is not the end for Jalan. She does actually get to play and finish off a game, you know, actually playing rather than sitting away for a last match. But one thing for sure is, like, you know, this has been one of the best World Cups for the 4th semi-finalist spot to be decided on the last ball of the last league game. It's that's literally going down the wire.
Exactly. You couldn't have scripted it better, Srini. I think it was down to the last ball of the last playoff game. That's phenomenal. And it's a great advert for women's cricket as well in general. I think the interest levels have been really high, even amongst our friends and the close circle. I think that's what I noticed and what was in the previous World Cups. I think I hope this trend continues.
Yeah, I think it's only at the end of the semi-final or final, you know, India was started to be noticed in the last World Cup. Whereas this one, I know back home in India as well, like, you know, people have been following the World Cup throughout the whole World Cup rather than just when India were in the crunch moments. It's kind of, you know, segueing into the ideal time that the BCCI have announced that possibility of a WIPL in 2023.
Yeah, BCCI are proposing a 6-team women's IPL from next year. I think the governing council met on Friday, on 25th, and spoke about a franchise-based annual. I think they are planning about 6 teams. That's the possibility that they are talking about, feasibility of a 6-team league that needs to be explored. I really hope it just takes 6 teams and not 3 teams, like the one of these IPLs that have been played. Or, kind of the women's cricket has been played as a franchisee entry. One good thing would be if they do, BCCI has already ruled this out, but what I've noticed, at least with T100 in England, the kids really enjoy the women's game and men's game having played in tandem on the same day. I think T100 is a format that lends itself for 2 games to be played on the single day, whereas T20 may be a little bit of a stretch. But really having those 2 proximity in proximity would be really good advert for women's IPL. But I think BCCA have said no to that. I hope they kind of put their money behind women's IPL and sponsors take it up. And there is a huge following amongst Indian youth. I think that's what would spur this this IPL on. Let's see.
Yeah, I think a 6-team IPL with the franchises, that this, you know, maybe at least for one season, if not, you know, subsequent seasons, because we know, like, you know, on the weekends, Saturday and Sundays, you do have a doubleheader IPL, but then the rest of the week there's only one game. And so the morning slots, if it's only a 6-6 team, you could potentially fit in some of the games on the morning slots, give one, but also make sure, like, you know, one of the weekend slots of the morning games goes to women's IPL. So therefore, you know, you can get crowds in. But if not, even if it's a standalone, it'll be really good thing for the growth of women's cricket in India. And things like, you know, this particular match, the more you put, you know, the more pressure and stuff like that, the players are used to playing under pressure, then they will only get better. So, fingers crossed. I know the Challengers Trophy is back this year. You know, the four team women's that Challenger Trophy that tends to happen along with the IPL. I think it's kind of scheduled or will be scheduled to happen sometime just around the playoffs.
Yeah.
Hopefully, that will happen, and then the IPL, the women's IPL next year will be good to see. Anyway, moving on. Let's focus on the IPL, starting with the first game on Saturday between CSK and KKR. Before we kind of even get talking about the match, I think the big thing that we probably need to discuss is Dhoni's handing over the captaincy to Jadeja. It's like the guy has, I don't know if it's just an amazing knack or is it just the way he does things. Remember back when he gave up the test captaincy, right in the middle of a series, he just announced I'm giving up the captaincy and gave it to Virat Kohli. And then when he retired from ODI, he just put that Instagram or tweet out saying from 1929, I'm retired. And then this one, literally 2 days before the start of the IPL, he just says, well, I'm handing over the captaincy to Jadeja.
In
one sense, it seems very well, he's handed it over, so it's not in the middle of the tournament or anything right before the tournament. But I do feel Jadeja could have been given a little bit more time, to get his headspace right and get for the captaincy, because I thought in the first game, that captaincy burden didn't seem to sit quite well with Jadeja. Normally, with Jadeja innings, you see him come out and bat freely, but I don't know what you thought about it. I just didn't get the feel it seemed to weigh heavily on him in that first game.
Yeah, it seemed to weigh heavily on Jadeja. I can understand from his body language. I do think that this has been coming for some time. I think because Stephen Fleming said Dhoni wanted to give him a clean slate. That tells me that this conversation hasn't happened in the last couple of whatever. I think it was a tactical move. They didn't want to advertise and make sure that that the people are planning for their resources and their games against a different captain, different leadership. I think this is, from my point of view, a masterstroke of the entire Chennai management team is what I would think. I think when he finished last season with a win is when I think, in my view, Dhoni has decided that it's time for me to hand over, because he has done everything in that franchise. That's my opinion. It could be, we never know what transpires between them. But from my point of view, I think Jadeja already knew that he was the captain the moment he was retained. And if you see the retention, they were very tactical about that.
Yeah. Anyway, we talk about it's an end of an era for CSK, but I think it's almost like the entire IPL seems to be now moving to a different generation.
Yeah.
A different generation of leadership. I was having a conversation with somebody, and it's interesting to notice the number of new Indian captains or possible Indian captains for the future in the IPL. I mean, look at Rohit Sharma, obviously, in Mumbai Indians, he's already Indian captain. But you're looking at Hardik Pandya at Gujarat, KL Rahul at Lucknow, Shreyas Iyer at Kolkata, Rishabh Pant at Delhi, Mayank Agarwal at Punjab. There's a number of young possible next generation Indian captains. In fact, Sanju Samson probably at Rajasthan Royals. The only two, I think, foreign captains this season are Williamson and Faf at SRH and Bangalore. So maybe it's good building. Good IPL is becoming a good building ground for leadership for the Indian team going forward, and not just players but also good captaincy experience for a number of them.
I think it gives a lot more choice, Trini, if you ask me. I think that's one of the reasons. So if you have a captain as an Indian player, that gives you a leverage to play somebody You can see that already, you know, David Warner isn't available, so, you know, the franchisee is not worried, because if he was captaining like a Saraj, that would have meant you have a standing captain, blah, blah, blah. If you have that, that kind of is already your own player shot. That's just my, again, my take, my perspective. People way beyond our capability and capacity in terms of statistics, device strategies for IPL teams. But this is just my point of view.
Yeah. I mean, specifically, I know we're kind of talking on kind of the overall IPL and not just splitting off the Dhoni, but talking specifically about the match, it seemed to be a very, shall I say, boring, you know, when you talk about IPL as like an excitement, and each match has an excitement, but when that first game, the Chennai Super Kings and the KKR, was like a very sedate start.
You know, I thought for a minute it was Chetish Pujara, ex-CSK player, so open. And I was chatting with you, I think, in the group on the WhatsApp as well. I think it was a very sedate start.
Yeah. Ruthraj Gaikwad and Devon Conway opening up and really not making. I mean, Ravindra Jadeja coming in, running Ambati Raidu out. I think he almost ran out Shivam Dubey as well. There was a thing at one point, Dhoni was 6 of 18 deliveries or something, and then he caught up in the end, like, you know, in his next 20 deliveries, he got 44, something like that.
Yes.
There was probably a point where, like, you know, it was almost like test cricket batting. India were playing, like, you know, safe and sound kind of thing. You know, that was Super Kings. On the other hand, like, you talked about Chetheshwar Pujara. Interestingly, KKR opened up with Ajinkya Rahane, and Rahane seemed to be, like, you know, in form in the IPL. That was a surprise.
I would have always opened with Rahane. The point being, you know, he's born and brought up in those wickets. I mean, we cannot discount that fact. Ashwin also mentioned that in his thing. In the fantasy league team that he picked, it was always going to be Rahane. You know, it's a strategic blunder if you didn't, and he paid that fate.
Yeah. You too, like, you know, having played so much cricket in Mumbai, you know, it would have been... I don't want to kind of dwell on, you know, bowling figures and stuff like that, but just looking at one thing was, like, you know, looking at the two bowling attacks, it just doesn't ooze, like, you know, wow factors, you know, in either way. You know, KKR had Umesh Yadav, Shivam Mavi, Varun Chakravarti, Sunil Narin, Andre Russell. It just doesn't seem like, obviously, they'll have Pat Cummins come in, and then, you know, that bowling will really take into shape. And similarly with when you look at Chennai's bowling, like, you know, Tushar Deshpande, Mitchell Santner, Shivam Dubey, again, these are not names that you will first think of when you're talking about T20 bowling.
Yeah. Moeen Ali is missing as well for CSK. You need to think about that. Once he comes back, probably you get about 2 or 3 overs from him.
Yeah. I mean, it's a shame. Obviously, we know Deepak Chahar.
Deepak Chahar.
I hope he will make a return some part, but very much doubt that he's going to play any part in this IPL, so he's probably going to be a big miss for CSK. Anyway, moving on, you know, from CSK to one of the other lines that moved away from the CSK and into Bangalore, Faf du Plessis. He was, like, literally, I know he carried on his form from that finals.
Yeah, from where he left, he began. I think that the knock was phenomenal. I was rooting for him to get a century. It was a walk. It was written on the thing. Once he crossed 65, he was like 3 or 4 boundaries. He was like on 780s something. Alas, you know, that shot was not to be the case. But phenomenal game that he had, although they ended up losing. I don't know if it was to do with tactical blunder or misfields or whatever that is. That game was always going to be won by RCB once they scored 200 plus. And you know, can't forget Dinesh Karthik, another Chennaiite. he had a phenomenal innings. I think Kohli, Dinesh Karthik, everybody played well. That was their game to win. But who knew what's going to happen, right?
Yeah. I certainly didn't give Punjab a chance. I mean, we should. I know this is the third match. We kind of jumped a match. You know, we missed the Mumbai and DC. We'll get back to that in a minute. I just kind of segued in from the CSK into another Lions kind of, you know, duplicity as such. But we'll come back to the Mumbai DC game in a minute. Talking about this one, you know, the Punjab Kings one. I certainly didn't give Punjab a chance, thinking like, you know, they'll score 208. Even at one point, until Odean Smith started getting into it, I thought, like, you know, when living, even though Shikhar Dhawan, Banika Rajapaksa scored quite a bit of runs, once Liam Livingston was out, I thought, like, you know, that was probably the end of it.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, like, you know, you messaged saying, like, you know, Punjab are imploding, you know.
they were, weren't they? I think what turned on the game, in my opinion, at least the turning point for that particular game, was the drop catch of Odean Smith. It was that of Anuj Rawat. I think that changed the game. He came out like 8-ball 25 or something like that,
yeah.
Crazy, and then he finished the match. So you know that those mistakes and those crucial junctures caused the match.
Yeah, it was like almost with over to spare. That said, I don't know whether, you know, this is, it's, you know, let's kind of, you know, keep an eye out and watch. Obviously, this game was played at the DY Patil.
Yeah.
And, you know, scores were like, it seemed like a very, very small ground. Kind of 200 each, both teams scoring in. The other games at Brabant probably didn't quite go to the same level. So it'd be interesting to see whether the games at the DY Patil really have the difference you will see between the DY Patil, Brabant and Wankhede in terms of the different games. I mean, in the first game between CSK was like, you know, 130 odd at the Wankhede. Today's game, we'll talk about the Lucknow Super Giants and GT later on. But that kind of also was only about 150, 160 game. You know, the Brabant one, Mumbai and DC went a little bit. So it'd be interesting to see whether there's some kind of, I know it's too early, like it's just been four matches, and the sample size is very small, to see whether there's a particular trend around, like, you know, scoring between the different, the three different grounds.
I think you're spot on, Srini, in that it's just everybody have played their first games. It's not anything to write home about in terms of analysis. Yes, I think everybody is sizing up the opponents in terms of the ground conditions, the dew factor, the bowling, the batting, everything. I mean, new captains, so there is so much. I think as we go towards, you know, next couple of weeks is when you will see the clear trends emerging, in my opinion.
Yeah. Let's kind of talk about the Mumbai Indians versus DC. Another excellent game.
Yeah.
Mumbai did what Mumbai do, like, you know, losing the first match. Although I must say, like, you know, at the halfway stage, a little later, I know I sort of thought DC weren't going to get this. Again, it seemed to be a match that was in Mumbai's favor, and you know, definitely Mumbai are going to win. But bang, especially when, you know, once DC had lost those first four wickets, they were, I think, 5 down for 72. Even when Shardul was out on the 13th over around 100 odd runs, didn't think they were going to get. But Lalit Yadav and Akshar Patel absolutely blitzkrieged from there on, you know, almost scoring 70 runs in the last 5 overs, I think.
They scored at a phenomenal rate. When I thought, you know, Robman Powell got out, I thought 72 for 5, there's no way you're going to score on that, like 100 runs or something, 100 plus runs. Again, when Shardul got out, but 100 for 6 wickets down. You're looking at Lalit Yadav and Akshar Patel. Akshar Patel has played one or two innings like that, but you can't really. I was not even hopeful, and then, you know, who knew?
Yeah, it was about
three sixes and two boundaries, and like 17 balls.
Yeah, it was the 18th over, like, which Daniel Sams bowled to Akshar Patel.
Yeah.
They completely took him to the cleaners. I think it went for something like 24 of that over. They needed 28 of the last three on that particular over. Like, you know, Daniel Sams has done good things in the BBL, but it's another example. I think we've had like lots of previous things where people who've done really well in the BBL struggle in the IPL. The Daniel Sams is like, you know, a guy who can bowl proper good pace, you know, in the high 140s. But then he started bowling slow balls, and they took him to the cleaners. That was the over that literally changed the game. At that point, with three overs, 28, I was thinking like, you know, it's going to be a difficult one. But that
I hope Mumbai Indians aren't missing Jofra Archer.
Well, I'm sure Bumrah will come back, and he probably just had an off day sort of thing. Rohit Sharma, I think more than Jofra Archer, they're missing Suryakumar Yadav.
Yeah.
Once Sky comes back in, you know, from his injury, I'm sure the batting will get strengthened. They should be good. Right, let's talk about the last game. You know, the game today again, another unbelievable game between the two new boys, Lucknow Super Giants and Gujarat Titans. Lucknow, I think when they came to bat, KL Rahul opened and Mohammad Shami got through the first ball, and then the first 4 wickets, what they were down for, like, you know, 20, 30, 29 for 4. From 29 for 4, I didn't expect them to, like, you know, get to 158.
No way, Srini. I didn't expect. When Wade and Pandya were playing, I thought there was a glimmer of hope. When Miller, I thought Tevatia was one match wonder. You remember, I think, was it for Rajasthan Royals?
He played
a phenomenal innings, like getting them out of nowhere. And I thought, yeah, that one game, everybody has that kind of game. I watched the game today very closely, and it was phenomenally well played. He knew what he was doing, so it was good to see. Nobody gave a chance for Gujarat Titans.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, like, you know, the Lucknow's batting, there's Ayush Bodhoni. I'd never heard of Ayush Bodhoni. This is the first time I've seen him play. Like, you know, he scored the half century with Deepak Hooda. I was doing a little bit of research to see who Ayush Bodhoni was. It's interesting. Like, you know, apparently he's been in the auction for the last 3 years and has gone unsold. And even though he has been, like, you know, trials for different teams, but nobody picked him in the auction. And this year, he plays for Delhi in the domestic circuit. He plays for Delhi, and it was Gautam Gambhir who is one of the mentors for the Lucknow Super Giants, who apparently bought him from Delhi and said, like, you know, this guy is really good. And he actually put him in front of Kunal Pandya. And it kind of shows when you trust and put somebody ahead, you know, they completely, like, you know, repay that.
The other player I want to just quickly sneak in is Abhinav Manohar, or Abhinav Sadarangani, as he was called throughout the game. And when I came back to search, look it up, it was always Abhinav Manohar. But anyway, I mean, I don't know where the confusion was. The TV broadcast kept saying Abhinav Sadarangani. But he's like 27-year-old. He's not a youngster by any means. But strike rate was phenomenal, 214. Some of the shots were like, oh. you can see when you see a big hitter, right? He was phenomenal today. Got them home. So.
Yeah, you mentioned Matthew Wade. There was an interesting start kind of around. The last time Matthew Wade actually played in the IPL was in 2011.
Wow.
he's not played IPL for 11 years. Here's some funny trivia, if you like. CSK were the defending champions in 2011. There were two new teams that had just joined the IPL.
Wow.
There was a mega auction that had just taken place. RCB had like an overseas captain in Daniel Vettori, which again is the case this term. KKR bought an ex-Delhi captain and named their captain Gautam Gambhir, moved from Delhi to KKR. And the first game of that IPL was KKR versus CSK. I just wonder, like, you know, right, so who won the 2011 IPL?
CSK, wasn't it?
Coincidence there, but I just thought that was a good thing. Anyway, that kind of, again, as I said, like, you know, there's nothing from a stats perspective or anything, you know, any trends, anything. It's only four games having happened at the minute. DC are leading the points table purely based on the run rate. It'll be interesting to see, like, you know, and I think Faf du Plessis got the orange cap so far with his 88. But hopefully the next week, as we see, like, you know, some more games, let's have a quick look at who's playing next week. We've got SRH RR, so that will complete the first round for pretty much
first
everybody.
Round,
like,
yeah. That's right.
Although the you know, in my head, I just keep thinking of the old style, like, you know, so home and away kind of thing. But obviously, this time around, it's not the home and away. So we played KKR. We will no longer play KKR because that was the only time we're going to be playing KKR. So that's kind of just done and moved. The two games that CSK are going to be playing before
this week is, you know, Lucknow Super Giants on Thursday. That would be an interesting match. You know, Rahul, I'm sure, would be good, you know, coming back into form, hopefully, just for the interest of cricket. But I would want to, you know, CSK to win. CSK also is playing on Sunday against Punjab Kings. That would be a good contest. But there are really good games to watch out for next week's training.
Yeah, RCB versus KKR is probably an interesting one. I suspect Pat Cummins will be back because I don't think he's playing the ODI, so the Australians probably will come back. I think most teams should get some of their players back, although there's the 3-day quarantine. The England West Indies series is finished, so the Holder and Johnny Bairstow and the likes will probably be back as well. And the test team for South Africa, the IPL players are actually heading over. So most teams should probably be full strength in kind of, you know, when the second round of the game starts next week. So, because it felt, looking across the board, that the bowling seemed to be quite weak. You know, it was predominantly Indian bowling sort of thing. You know, some of the overseas stars are missing. So, fingers crossed, the overseas stars will be back next week, and it gets a little bit more exciting next week. Anyway, on that note, let's wrap this week's episode. Do please subscribe to this podcast and follow the website yellowandblues.com. We are also on Twitter, at LONBlues. So let's keep interacting on Twitter and leave your reviews and ratings of this podcast on Spotify or any other podcast that you get from. Until next week, it's Srini and Venkat signing off. Have a good week.